in 2025 with all stuff happening with AI, with the latest legislations. But in general, the speed at which companies move nowadays is nowhere close to what it used to be. So it means that some of the processes change faster than we can change the reporting for that. That means somebody in my team, and usually in a lot of cases myself, have to be in a meeting that is not related to me yet, but in 2 months from now, it's going to break something. And I need to be aware of that way, way in advance.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Now, I love to give a little shout out to the listeners who are kind enough to take the time to post a review of the show. So we've got one of those to do in this episode. Huge thank you to Babs MT from the US for your 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you very much. Babs MT writes, great host. Blushing, a great podcast, and says, you know what makes for a great podcast host? Intellectual curiosity. Chloe has it in spades and shows up in the depth and breadth of topics covered and guests invited. Whether inspirational or practical and inspirational, E-commerce Master Plan always offers a lot of knowledge. Definitely listen. Thank you, Babs. Blushing slightly over here, but thank you very much for that lovely review. If you would like one of these shout outs at the start of an episode, go to ecmp.info/review to find out how to leave one. Right, what have we got coming up in this episode? Well, we are not going to be talking very much about the e-commerce store that's on, which is CarWow. Instead, we're going to be talking about brand side analytics and tracking. So we've got someone who is deep in the world of tracking, analytics, cookies, data, all that kind of good stuff. And he's going to be talking about how he at CarWow manages his team, how they make the decisions on what to do, how they work with the rest of the company, some cool tool tips, some AI tips, lots of practical advice, lots of sane advice to help you make the right decisions with how deep you go on all these things, because I know you're all wrestling with it at the moment. So if data analytics and tracking has you all befuzzled, prepare to get some great tips, tools and advice to help you manage it all without pulling all your hair out. Huge thanks as well to Roman for getting in touch to offer to talk about this crucial topic, because he's ace, as you're about to find out. And make sure you listen right to the end, because his top tips are super hot too. And now to introduce our special guest. Roman Petrochenkov is the lead marketing analyst at CarWow. So yes, we're going to be getting deep into tracking, attribution and all that juicy, juicy stuff. CarWow has grown from a review site to be a one-stop shop for changing your car, offering customers the ability to buy a new or used car or to sell their existing vehicle. Founded in 2013, they now operate in the UK, Germany and Spain. In 2024, they grew 50% with nearly £3 billion worth of cars bought on the site and £1.8 billion of cars listed for sale through the Sell My Car service. Hello, Roman.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me here. So nice to be not just a listener, but also participate.
Brilliant. In a podcast. Brilliant to have you here to talk about such a juicy, juicy topic. First off, though, how did you end up in this world of e-commerce and attribution and all these good things?
Like a lot of people, by accident, I would probably say. I have been a computer science student, and it just so happened that I ended up in the marketing agency. I spent about 5 years on my early career in agencies doing everything from PPC, Facebook ads, a little bit of email, CRO optimization, talking to clients. It had been a very, very wild time, as a lot of agencies are. And then after about 5 years on the agency side, I decided that I want to move to the client side, where you have a little bit more time to figure things out and to build a bit more long-term sustainable solutions. And essentially, throughout all of this time, I have been doing most of the performance in e-com and lead gen, which are very, very close. And not gonna lie, a huge part of it has been Google Ads or Google related solutions like Analytics, Tag Manager, you name it. I have tried most of them.
Excellent. And have you found the, now you're specializing in the tracking attribution data side of it all, have you found that early grounding in understanding how all the other channels work has made things easier for you because you get the affiliate principles, the Google ads principles, the Meta ads principles, and so on and so forth?
100%. I'm in that unique position because at the same time, I understand how backend works, tech works, tracking works, how JavaScript is actually getting executed. But I can go to marketing team and talk marketing language, and then can go to finance team and talk finance language. It makes life so much easier to understand what it does it mean to do something, but it also was going to show in the end of it. Besides that, when you go into all the new tech that comes up, especially when it comes to cookie, our favorite consent changes, it helps a lot to understand how it impacts the exact setup and the data flow. So yeah, it definitely makes my life so much easier. But at the same time, it's just as fair to say that I haven't done my own campaign in Facebook for like many, many years. And the tech is changing, but I always feel like, oh, it used to be like that. It's no longer like that. And I have to remind myself that there are people that know it so much better and I need to learn from them as well.
I know what you mean. Having run an ad agency for 10 years, I would not trust myself in a Google Ads account or a Facebook Ads account anymore. I know enough to be really dangerous. So don't let me near it, anybody. Don't do it. So clearly, Roman, you're working for a very large company with a huge amount of data across different sites, different selling methods, and huge volumes of traffic coming through as well. And then I know, because you've already told me, that you're managing a team of four across all of this. So how do you go about managing it? You know what I mean? Like, if I suspect our audience are more familiar with managing an ad campaign or managing an email campaign, where you know what you've got to deliver, you know what you've got to do. So how on the analytics and the data side of it, do you work out where to focus you and your team's effort and how to deliver for the business?
It's a very good question. And, you know, inside, we have a phrase saying that if the prioritization doesn't hurt, you're not prioritizing well. And I think that describes really well how we like what we try to do. The thing that I try to do a lot is different people in my team have a different background, and it's very important to have enough time to fix the technical backlog and things that you have to be prepared for. Like a good example of that, we're all thinking that GCLEAT is going to be disappearing at some time soon. So you're like, you have to put a lot of research up front and you find the person who can do all of that work before it all happens. But that person is not very likely to be a person who's going to be very good at the BI and talking to million stakeholders. So it's never easy. Finding the right person, finding the right team. I try to be always in the process, understanding how things are done, and some things doing myself, but because my background allows me to do. For example, it just so happens that I mostly do all GTM changes myself instead of delegating to somebody, because GTM is such a rare skill when you talk about analytics. Usually a lot of companies big enough would have a tracking person for that, for example. We decided to go a little bit different route because we don't do a lot of changes, but that's essentially how we divide work internally.
Got you. And for everyone listening, GTM, Google Tag Manager, just in case you're wondering, and BI, I'm guessing, is business intelligence?
Dashboarding, you can think about it this way.
Yeah, it's one of those utterly meaningless phrases, isn't it? It's like business intelligence, what? Dashboards, people.
Dashboards, yeah.
So your team, you know, the lumping together of analytics and data science, data engineering, Google Tag Manager or tracking, all this stuff together. Where do you spend most of your time, actually? Is it on the maintenance and the getting ready for new legislation? Is it keeping the C-suite happy with their dashboards, or is it something else that occupies you most of the time day to day?
I think a huge part of it is education internally, in the best sense of that. Talking to people and helping them to understand the data is a huge part of my job, because we get, as you said, like we're big, we have a lot of different data points coming in. A good example of that is the person who's looking for a new car buying, they're going to inquire on the car, the lead is generated, and it's a quite quick journey from the user perspective, especially if you know what you want. If you want to sell your car, you need to take pictures of that. You need to take the service history. You need to understand the condition, the scratches. The journey for those two users are very different, and the time it takes for those users is also different. So if you try to put those numbers together and say, oh, there's a person buying a car lead and there's a person selling a car lead. Those are not same intent leads, and you need to go through different, but in the G sheets, it's going to look like two columns, just one by one. And you need to go through different teams and departments to explain, hey, we work with them differently. We need to invest in them differently. A huge part of it is understanding also how the business changes. I think in 2025, with all stuff happening with AI, with the latest legislations, but in general, the speed at which companies move nowadays is nowhere close to what it used to be. So it means that some of the processes change faster than we can change the reporting for that. That means somebody in my team, and usually a lot of cases myself, have to be in a meeting that is not related to me yet, but in 2 months from now, it's going to break something. And I need to be aware of that way, way in advance. But I try to, like, about 50% of my time is probably going to actually doing delivering, like coding or reviewing something. And the team composition also constantly changing. For example, last year, we have been having a data engineer as a part of the team because we were basically Google Vehicle Ads, which is the PMAX for vehicle ads or feed-based advertising that specifically for cars in the UK has been launched. A lot of other e-commerce advertisers would have been very familiar with the product. It's a Google Merchant Center, exists for like over the decade, hasn't been available for cars. And we had a special person temporarily in the team just to make sure we have the feed right, we send it in the right way. And that, for example, completely changed my workflow because I have to be in it, because the person is going to at some point move forward and somebody internally needs to know what's happening with the feed and basically everything around it.
That must be a huge opportunity as well. You know, you don't suddenly being able to use PMAX and Google Shopping, you don't want to drop the ball on that one, do you? So it's like huge focus for the year. You've mentioned quite a few of the Google tools. Are you, to manage all of this, are you focused on good deployment of GTM, good deployment of GA4 and the Google suite, or are you using additional analytics and tracking tools to manage all that side of things?
Actually, internally, we don't use Google Analytics much. We use Amplitude to track most of the events. It just so happened that we use Amplitude. They have benefits, ups and downs for both of those products. I think Amplitude is really good when it comes to understanding how the product works and how product journey is. It essentially have been product focused tool that has evolved into supporting a lot of marketing. But what it means for us is most of our analytics is not happening in a specific tool. We put it in Snowflake, which is a database system, and we do a lot of heavy database calculation, SQLing around to get data surfaced. Again, a good example of that, when you sell your car, the time it takes to sell the car and for a car to be actually collected and data to actually come to us is more than 1 or 2 days, obviously. If you want to sell your car tomorrow, you probably want to wait for a new car to be delivered to you before the car is picked up. That creates delays, and Google Analytics only allows, for example, for 7 days of delay. If it's past 7 days, you can't upload anything. So we can't use a lot of existing tools. We use non-Google tools for a lot of different cases.
So for you, because of the size and the complexity of the business, it's a let's gather the raw data in your Snowflake database. So then you can pull it into additional data manipulation platforms as you need to read it and use it for different services. But you're not going to trust anything else with the raw data. You want control of that raw data centrally. So then whatever the business needs, you have the ability to go and then analyze it. Would that be a fair saying?
Yeah, 100%. You can even simplify it sometimes and say there are always going to be tools that do 99% of the things, but they're not going to do exactly the thing that you need the most for the cases like this.
So I would assume a lot of our audience don't need that level of complexity. And actually, let's expand this out before I ask you this question. There is a huge amount that all e-commerce businesses are trying to get to grips with at the moment around tracking, integration, making your ads work better, complying with new legal stuff coming down the lines about cookies and God knows whatever else. And there's a lot of new tech around that promises the world. How would you advise them to go about working out what they need or what they need to care about? Because it would be very easy to kind of get lost in the attribution tracking data box at the moment, even if you're running a tiny e-commerce business and get completely overwhelmed with it all. So how do you filter all of that? How do you make sure you're making the right decisions?
It's a massive question, and I'm going to start very, very boring, and I'm going to say, regardless of where you're in the journey, you need to go and read what's the actual requirements for having a consent banner and cookies, what you can and cannot do. It's very, very important. It's different across the UK and EU. And I have been on this journey myself for the course of the last 2 years. I've learned a lot of things that I didn't expect. How GDPR is completely unrelated, for example, how the cookies work in the UK. And a lot of people need to definitely put some time and effort into understanding it. You don't need to go deep. We have an amazing Gemini, ChatGPT, all of these amazing tools that help you to learn it. But it's going to be very, very educative for most of the people. I think when it comes to picking the right choice, it comes to the size of the business. If you're a small e-commerce shop that mostly runs PPC ads, lead gen ads, or like it comes to a few people in the team, in the company, and you have a relatively small budget, you're not going to get any benefits from doing an advanced attribution. It's just not, you're not going to have enough data to do that. When you have brand marketing and you have brand as a allocated spend in your budget, and you start thinking about a lot of people having a returning transaction when you come to the things like LTV, which is lifetime customer value, and the cost of acquisition, our favorite CAC and LTV, that's where you start asking question: what is a new customer and what is a returning customer, and who I should and should not actually activate. And this is where it becomes way more profitable to invest in the tooling and understanding it. Exact tooling will probably comes down to exact e-commerce shop. It's very hard for me to say. Google Analytics, for example, provides a ton of insights, but as in a lot of cases like this, if your tracking is just not quite right, it's going to come with amazing but wrong insights, and that's probably a very dangerous path to take.
So number one, make sure we've got our consent banners working properly for the audiences we're targeting, which basically go and speak to Gemini or ChatGPT to get started, and then make sure you've got the right cookie banner set up correctly. Is it fairly straightforward, but we do have to get into it? Would that be fair to say?
It's very, very, very straightforward. If you're a big brand, let's put it out there, take heavy legal advice. If you're a small brand, there are plenty of solutions out of the box that will help you to do it right.
Cool. And then second thing we need to make sure we're getting right is that we're feeding the right conversion data and tracking back into our ad platforms.
100%. A huge part.
And would you recommend getting third-party software in to do that? Or is that something, you know, you start off just by using what you've already got access to with the ad platforms technology? Or do we need to find something to bolt on to make that easier?
I'm a person who thinks if you have a chance to solve the problem straightforward, you should take that chance and try that. But I'm also a lazy person. Like, I try lazy, I really love lazy solutions that don't break over time. But a lot of companies just cannot solve the problem by that. Like one of the previous guests, for example, on the podcast shared that they have 10, 15, 20 different platforms where they advertise, and not all of them integratable together. And it's very hard then go, let's say, Google Analytics and only have Google Ads cost and Bing cost there. That is just not going to solve the problem. This is where you need to look into a better solution that's going to solve at least cost allocation, basic attribution for you.
I think it's what's coming out of this for me is that it's all about what are your objectives? What's the cost? What's the risks? You know, so what are you actually trying to improve, and how much could that cost you? How much potential benefit is there? And then find the solution that's cost effective to get you there.
Every platform we get takes some time to manage that platform internally. It's the same with SKUs, right? If you have 20, 30, 50 SKUs, you probably can manage them in G-Sheets, in Excel, whatever is the preference, right? If you have 500, 600, 5,000, you will need to have a solution that will help you to automatically manage them, track them, and do all of that. The same comes to attribution. I think it's really, in the context of e-commerce, I think the really hard question, if you have a lot of sales coming through Amazon, eBay, and a lot of companies that don't really give you much insights what's happening inside of it, and then you will have to adjust for significantly more complex solutions. But if you are in that lucky situation when you have quite a lot of traffic coming to your website and you can track that traffic, having at least some basic attribution that you understand that is not last click is going to be really, really good. For example, you can have data-driven attribution that Google Analytics provides or Google Ads provides. You just need to understand what they do, for example. A good example there is that Google Ads attribution does not equal Google Analytics attribution. They do different things. A lot of people get lost in there, and a lot of things and details there that's very, very important to understand. At the same time, it doesn't mean that one of them is bad. It's just they do different things.
Do you think it's ever possible to get to a perfect attribution, or is it about understanding what each model is telling you and either the business or you individually deciding which one you're most comfortable with?
I wish there was a way to have a perfect attribution. It doesn't exist, and it hurts me to say and acknowledge that. We have this, which is a very common way of looking at a triangle, which is not really... It's applicable to every business, but it's more applicable to the businesses that have way more things that they can measure directly, which is an attribution in your day-to-day foundational thing that feeds into Google, feeds into Facebook and everything else and tell you roughly how much you need to spend. Then you have incrementality testing. It's essentially when you try to measure a specific channel and understand how that channel incrementally impacts your revenue. So for example, you take one region that is enabled, one region is disabled, and they're being compared by the model. If you haven't tried that, like Facebook provides a solution for that. Things called BrandLift. Google has provided a solution for that, YouTube as well, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that allows you to have a general understanding how different channels do. And then you have a huge mountain peak, which is a marketing mix modeling, when you plug in all of this incrementality tests and it goes into last 3, 4, 5 years of your spend and tries to understand how different channels impacted your spend. And it's basically a correlation model. It's not very good to understand how the campaign has been doing or keyword. It just cannot do that. But it can give you a calibration on saying like Facebook actually is a 30% more than you usually would think it is based on the data for the last 3, 4 years. That's how in an ideal world it should look like. But in reality, how many companies can actually build that system and test it and invest? It's an expensive thing to have, and it's an expensive thing to invest in. So depending on the size, it will basically depends on your outcome.
And of course, if you're running it once a year, the ad platforms change things all the time. So there's then that whole question, which let's not get into here, about the validity of it in the first place. But yeah, it can be hugely, hugely useful in the right places. Now, Raymond, you've mentioned AI. You've also mentioned that you love a lazy solution. So any cool lazy solutions, any cool ways of utilizing AI in the area in which you work that it would be cool to share with the audience? Any tips?
They're very close to what I'm working on, but they're also very close to e-commerce. So there has been two cases recently. One of these Google Ad scripts, even as a big company as we are, we still do use Google Ad scripts. They're great for a lot of small things. And I cannot write it natively. Like I don't know JavaScript to that level. What I did is I asked Gemini to scrape me all the documentation about it, put it in a file, and then I uploaded this file to ChatGPT and said, that is what you can use. And it completely solved all the problem of it using in existing functions. And now I have a system that writes really good Google Ads scripts, but I also can get it instructions how to do things. And then I thought, look, what if I do the same with a CRO? And I will ask... I think it was Gemini Deep Thinking to research the internet and provide me all best advices how to make a good landing page. Put that in the paper and then come to ChatGPT and say, by the way, I'm changing the brands. It actually doesn't matter which one you use. Can you please analyze this page against this instruction provided in this structure thing and then provide it with a prioritization points for the project manager so I can make my pitch inside the company without writing it and then finalize it with a lovely message to my, let's say, colleague Fred, that I will try to pitch this idea in the first place. And then you have this amazing system that comes up with the top 5 greatest things you should test on your landing page without you investing much time. It's good enough to get the ball rolling. It's never good enough to create something absolutely amazingly new and great, but it saved so much time and effort into just getting, okay, is that landing page actually good or not?
I love that. Does it only work if you use one AI LLM tool to do the research and then a separate one to be the active day-to-day helper? Or could you do it all on the one?
You can do it all in the one. I think it comes down to talking restrictions and how much time you have. I would assume that majority of people listening are not very technical. So, for example, going through this thing is called Gemini CLI, which is amazing to just scraping the data and that you can ask to it again and again, and it's free, but it takes quite some time to set up. Anthropic, what's their AI? Do you remember?
Oh, no, I'm... Claude.
Claude allows you to do it from the browser. It's amazing. Like, I love Claude. I was doing renovation recently. I'm like, can you go and research UK laws and everything that I should be aware of when I'm doing renovation because I'm doing this for the first time? Does exactly the same thing. It just has a smaller limit. The only reason why I was using it in ChatGPT that at the time there's a thing called custom GPT. So you can upload the commands and share it internally in the company. Gemini has gems, but you can't share it with other people. At least you couldn't at the point when I was doing that. Same with Anthropic. So it's essentially just me using ChatGPT because I have this share button.
Got you. So then you can share it with the rest of your team so they can also do the Google scripts and they can also review landing pages without having to rebuild the whole thing.
Exactly.
Cunning. Yeah, it evolves so fast, we have to keep changing. And you mentioned there about advising on landing pages, etc. I would imagine, I think it's very easy for people to assume that an analytics data team are purely reactive. You know, people send you work requests and you do the work requests, or you notice something's broken and you fix it. But it sounds like you're quite proactive as well in terms of analyzing data, making suggestions to teams and so on and so forth. Is that a big part of what you're doing as well? And you mentioned earlier about, you know, educating the rest of the company on this. So is there a big amount of liaison and advice flowing in both directions between you and other teams in the business?
Yeah, and we have a lot of heated discussions and sometimes we shout at each other, but we still love that interactions. That was all within limits, but what I mean by that is we try to challenge. I have a lot of experience to bring to the table, but there's a lot I need to learn and understand. For example, when it comes to some landing page optimization, I know some basic things that's going to be good, very good for Google Ads and how to connect things together. But then the product owner would know so much better about the user journey. And then product analysts can bring you something like a cohort analysis when you think, oh, actually people who are hitting that page are mostly returning users rather than being new users. So having the right people at the table is very important. You just need to be very careful when it comes to not having 25 stakeholders in a page trying to define what's the best headline, which happens quite a lot in companies nowadays.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Roman, are you ready for the top tips?
As far as I can be ready.
Excellent. Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I've read it quite some time ago. It's called Decoded, The Science Behind Why We Buy. I find it very easy to read because I have a lot of basically very simple examples to explain to people why people pick this price versus that price, which is very good for e-commerce to know. But it also way easier than to read Think Fast and Slow, which is very hard to get through. So I would probably start there. If you haven't read Think Fast and Slow, read Decoded.
I often wonder about Think Fast and Slow in the paperback edition. If someone at Penguin went, how can we make this even harder to read? Let's make it a teeny tiny font.
Exactly.
So one of those, you pick it up and just go, oh, Daniel Kahneman, I would love to read this, but I just can't. It's going to be something else today. So love that recommendation. The traffic top tip even. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I think it's influencer marketing done right. I think a lot of companies go for influencer marketing and they either do go big or try a little bit, just tiny little bit. And I have seen multiple companies who just pick the right influencers in the right time with the right offer, having it very done really nicely. And it comes on a basically lead gen or order driving business very well. But making it right is difficult. The same thing happens with Google Ads. We just get used to the idea that we need to make everything there perfect and everybody knows how to use it. But you come to a new platform, you're like, yeah, just click a couple of things. I think that's where content marketing and influencer marketing get really misunderstood. You also need to have a very thorough discussion and understanding how to make it right.
It is such a clever science, even though it doesn't appear like a science in the way that Google Ads does. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient day to day?
It has been one tool that I've been using for the last 2 years, which has been HiTouch. HiTouch is essentially a platform that allows you to take data from your data warehouse or G Sheets and send it to Google, Amazon, Facebook, anywhere else you want. And that platform has literally transformed what we do internally in the data side in Carwow. One of the greatest things, we have been one of the first ones to implement the user data matching in Google Ads, just because HiTouch allowed us to have a latest API connection and everything very, very quickly. They have amazing customer support and I just love working with it. Just one thing to mention that is for more like an advanced shops and users, just if you have, again, like a small e-commerce, you might not find a lot of useful tools there.
Very cool. So is it a feed management platform or is it more of a strip back to the bones, you can make it do what you actually want to happen?
It's the second, but I'm also, needs to be fair, they have launched recently a CDP, which is a customer data platform where you can go and say, create new audience of people who have made an order over the last 2 weeks and send it to Facebook, DV360, Google Ads and everything. And it's just going to do it all by itself very quickly. And it's going to show you all the statistics, what you're missing, what emails are wrong. It's just such a click and drag kind of experience that works so well.
Nice. Love that recommendation. Okay, finally, the carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
It's a hard one for me, but I would probably be very boring and say learning how to work remotely efficiently. Because what you see in a lot of companies nowadays is that everybody goes remote. So you have 12 meetings a day and then like, yeah, remote work doesn't work. Like it does. You need to find the right balance. I'm a person who loves, and it's sometime in office, sometime remote. But if you hire people remotely, you need to know how to work with that and how to set up correct targets and work with it efficiently.
Yes, totally get where you're coming from. I have to say my heart sunk during the pandemic when there were all these stories of people putting spyware. You know, the everyone's now working from home, so suddenly there was a boom in spyware to track if your team were actually working or not. It's like, if you can't trust them to do their job, why did you hire them in the first place? Although it says a lot more about the owner than it does about the staff, I think. Anyway, before I go off on one about that, Roman, love that tip. Thank you. And thank you so much for coming on the show. Before we say goodbye, could you let people know where they can get in contact with you and Carwow, please?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me here. Connect to me on LinkedIn, which is going to be Roman Petrochenkov. Or you can also go to carwow.co.uk and try to find a new car or sell your existing car. We also exist in Germany and Spain. So if you're from those countries, also carwow.de and carwow.es.
Awesome. Roman, thank you again for coming on. It's been very cool hearing a brand side perspective on all these challenges we're doing. And you make it seem a lot less stressful than it does a lot of the time. So thank you so much, Roman. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
What brilliant, pragmatic, practical advice and loads of cool little tool type tips in there as well. Really cool to chat to Roman. He's just suggested he should come back on every year and give us a little what's going on in the world of analytics, data, etc. update. I think it's a cracking idea. If you think so too, get in contact with me on LinkedIn and let me know what you think. So lots in there to unpack around how to go about making sane decisions about sorting out your data. I loved the tips around consent banners and the tracking side of things and the be pragmatic about it all. Get that balance between what you have to do and what the risks are, and then make it work for your business, and don't get too stressed out about it. You can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short link. That's ecmp.info/episode number. And once you get to the website, go on, add yourself to my email list so you don't miss any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. If you liked this episode, then make sure you check out episode 570, where Jamie Hill is one of our WWYD guests. That's one of our What Would You Do guests. And she's getting into how you can massively improve operational efficiency. And if you want to hear more episodes with massive retailers, then head to the website ecmp.info/big to get your hands on all those episodes. Thank you for tuning in to this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to carbon neutral. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week, and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.